In the name of the Christ who suffered for our sake. Amen. Dearly beloved, during this Lenten tide, we ponder the journey of Christ to the cross. In all three readings today, we have been called to repentance and a plea for the listeners to return to the God who loves them. That is still applicable to us this very day. The first reading comes from the prophet Hosea, who was sent to the people of the northern kingdom of Israel, who despise God's teachings and seek other solutions, their own solutions. Earlier in Hosea's warning to Israel, we see the punishment that awaits those who rebel against God and don't keep his commandments. Hosea 1:9 says, "And the Lord said, Lo Ami," which means name, "not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." Here we see the warning from God that he will abandon those who rebel against him. Yet later, as we hear in chapter 14, we see that God is not without mercy and still desires to save that rebellious Israel when he says, "Take with your words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and he will pay with bulls the vows of our lips." Except in the reading from Hosea, we do not see how God will take away the iniquity of Israel. We are left wondering how he will pay it. A contemporary of the prophet Hosea can be found in the southern kingdom of Judah, where God called the prophet Isaiah to send a warning. In Isaiah's warnings and promises, we receive how the sins and iniquities are to be atoned for. Isaiah 53:5 states, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Now let me paint you a picture of what this looks like. Imagine a person that has been beaten and whipped to the point of bleeding out, and his flesh is made undone. You can see the sinews, you can see the veins, you can see the arteries. Yet, if that was not enough, that same person is forced to carry a cross and yet need help outside, to the outside of the city, to a mountain, so that he could be nailed upon that cross. And finally, after he's dead, have a spear stabbed into him to make sure that he is dead. If it's not obvious, that person is our Christ, the Son of God that was sent. And evidently, that is what it takes for the sins and iniquities of the world to be forgiven. As I said previously, who should this remind us of? After all, many were crucified. It should remind us of Christ, the one that took upon what should have happened to us. It should have been each and every one of us, from those in the back, to Reverend Peters, to Reverend Folks, to Caleb Garman, to even myself, especially myself. So why does it happen? Why does Jesus, who is called the Christ, does this have to happen? Christ was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Upon Christ has been placed all the iniquities that have been done by Israel and Judah and the whole world, past and present, and yet to come, so that we can be forgiven, so that we too can become heirs. Yet, the world would tell us, And even some of us will try to say that our sin isn't that bad. It can't be bad enough for a man to be whipped, beaten, and crucified for. After all, it's not like some wicked people, you know, like the Adolf Hitlers, Joseph Stalins, Ted Bundys, Jeffrey Dahmer, every abortion doctor, and the list goes on and on. You know, those people. Our sin isn't as bad as them, right? Obviously, Reverend Peters, Pastor Folks, Caleb, and I haven't killed anyone, at least I hope. But indeed, in fact, we have all sinned. Willingly or unwillingly. As St. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I call you to remember what Pastor Folks or Reverend Peter, Pastor Peters preached this past Sunday. Maybe they preached, more than likely, I'll take a bet, I can be corrected later, that they preached a relatively similar sermon to each other. You are wicked humans, like the people who were bitten in the wilderness with Moses by serpents, except. That except is very important. How does it finish? Except you have been healed by Christ, who was raised on the cross like the serpent, and we are healed by Christ's wounds. Christ suffered and died so we wouldn't be healed and brought to him and have eternal life. If that is not the biggest sign of Christ's love for us, then I don't know what love is. After all, the Apostle John wrote in his letter, if you don't know what love is, you do not know what... Well, I'm paraphrasing, forgive me. If you don't know what love is, then you don't know God. Christ was beaten for us. Christ bled for us. Christ died for us. We owe everything to Christ because he has opened to us the possibility of becoming heirs and gaining eternal life. How then do we partake of these great things? First, by believing that Christ died for your sins and that your sins were worth dying for, even if it's just a lie, it is worth dying for. Second, by being brought to the waters in holy baptism and being baptized in the name of the triune God. Early in life, middle of life, or if you're on your deathbed, it is worth being baptized no matter the circumstance. And thirdly, by receiving communion, which is the body and blood of our crucified and risen Christ. All three of these are intertwined with one another. If you despise one, you despise the other, for all three have been commanded by Christ. This is made clear in John 15:10 when Christ says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Therefore, let us keep Christ's commandments. So that we may abide in God's love. What are Christ's commandments? To love God with all your heart, and all your might, and with all your soul. And also to love your neighbor as yourself. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lastly, to receive the Eucharist as often as we can for the forgiveness of our sins. If we remain in God's love, we will have what Christ has promised, which is eternal life. To conclude, we have rebelled against God over and over, again and again, and until we're all in the grave, we will keep on. But Christ has called us to repent. So when we repent, we will partake of the forgiveness that Christ has won for us on the cross. In the name of the crucified Christ, amen.